Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Magic Software Enterprises Limited Fourth Quarter 2015 Results Conference Call. All participants are currently in a listen-only mode. Following management's presentation, instructions will be given for question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. I'd also like to remind you that this call is being recorded. With us on the line today are Mr. Guy Bernstein, CEO, Mr. Asaf Berenstin, CFO, Mr. Amit Burke, VP M&A and General Counsel. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Amit Burke of Magic Software. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Our quarterly earnings release was issued before the market opened this morning and has been posted on the company's website at www.magicsoftware.com. Before we start, I would like to remind everyone that this conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements. The safe harbor provision provided in the press release issued today also applies to the content of this call. Magic expressly disclaims any obligation to update or revise any of these forward-looking statements, whether because of future events, new information, a change in its view or expectation, or otherwise. Also, during course of today's call, we will refer to certain non-GAAP financial measures. A reconciliation schedule showing GAAP versus non-GAAP results have been provided in our press release issued before the market opened this morning. A replay of this call will be available after the call on the investor relations section of the company's website. I will now turn the call over to Guy.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today as we report our fourth quarter and full year 2015 financial results. During this call, I will review the highlights from our fourth quarter and full year results and then turn it over to Asaf, who will provide more detailed financial information. I'll be happy to address any of your questions at the end. We are pleased with our strong fourth quarter performance, providing an exciting finish to a record year. Q4 revenues reached $47.9 million, reflecting 13% year-over-year growth. Annual revenues for 2015 reached a record-breaking $176 million, and non-GAAP operating profit for the year reached a record-breaking $27.2 million. We exceeded our guidance and achieved these excellent results despite the significant impact of the erosion of foreign currency exchange rates on our top and bottom line. This is thanks to the strength of our portfolio and our broad global customers. Magic Software solutions and services are becoming increasingly relevant during 2016 as businesses accelerate their digital transformation initiatives. We continue to invest in our products to enable our customers to innovate and increase competitiveness by mobilizing and optimizing business processes across back-end systems and by modernizing existing business-critical applications. To further accelerate our growth, we plan to continue and look for additional mergers and acquisitions that are aligned with our overall growth strategy. We are looking for opportunities to expand our market penetration through acquisitions of companies that will provide us with complementary solutions and expanded customer base. We have a proven history of making prudent acquisitions at fair prices and successfully integrating the acquired companies into our business. We will leverage this experience to pursue additional acquisitions. That being said, we remain highly selective regarding the M&A opportunities we pursue. Our ongoing financial performance, healthy balance sheet, and strong product portfolio are primary factors in our evaluation and pursuit of potential acquisitions. As a global one-stop shop for both product and services with long-term relationships with our customers, we are well-positioned to execute our growth opportunities. I would now like to turn the call over to Asaf Berenstin, our Chief Financial Officer, to discuss the financial results in more detail. Asaf, please.
Thank you, Guy, and good morning, everyone. Today, we will be analyzing our results on a non-GAAP and constant currency basis, which, as mentioned at the beginning of the call, provides valuable supplemental information regarding our results of operation, consistent with how we evaluate our performance. As Guy mentioned, our momentum continues with four-quarter non-GAAP revenue of $47.9 million, reflecting 13% growth compared to the fourth quarter of 2014, and non-GAAP operating income of $7.4 million, both record high levels. While we are pleased with these record-breaking numbers, had it not been for the negative impact of the erosion of foreign exchange rate, we would have shown quarterly revenues of $49.1 million, reflecting a 15% increase year over year. The foreign currency erosion in Q4 negatively impacted our revenue by approximately $1.2 million compared to the fourth quarter of 2014, mainly due to the devaluation of the euro and the Japanese yen, which decreased by 13% and 6% respectively compared to the fourth quarter of 2014. Let me now turn to the geographic breakdown of our revenue. In the fourth quarter, we maintained our traditional geographic mix. North America represents 51% of total revenues. Europe, which includes Israel, represents 39%. Asia-Pacific, 6%, and the rest of the world, 4%. Most of our growth in the fourth quarter was from North America and Israel, which are strong territories for Magic. Turning now to profitability, our non-GAAP gross profit for Q4 was $18.8 million, up 4% compared to non-GAAP gross profit of $18.2 million in the fourth quarter last year, and up 13% compared to non-GAAP gross profit of $16.7 million in the previous quarter. Non-GAAP gross margin was 39.3%, down from 42.8% for the fourth quarter of last year, and up from 36.8% for the previous quarter. On a constant currency basis, non-GAAP gross margin for the fourth quarter would have reached 40.2%. The fact that over 80% of our software license and maintenance and support revenues, which carry gross margin of over 85%, are generated in currencies other than the US dollar, means that the currency erosion negatively influenced our gross margin by 0.9% and our gross profit by $0.9 million compared to the fourth quarter last year. Non-GAAP operating income for Q4 was $7.4 million, up 5% compared to non-GAAP operating income of $7 million in the fourth quarter last year. Non-GAAP operating margin decreased to 15.4% compared to 16.5% in the same period last year. On a constant currency basis, non-GAAP operating income for the fourth quarter would have reached $7.9 million, reflecting an increase of 12% year over year, with non-GAAP operating margin of 16%. Financial expenses this quarter totaled approximately $96,000 compared to financial expenses of $840,000 in the fourth quarter of 2014. Our non-GAAP net income was $5.6 million, or 13 cents per diluted share, based on 44.5 million fully diluted shares outstanding, compared to non-GAAP net income of $5.7 million, or 13 cents per diluted share, based on 44.5 million fully diluted outstanding in the fourth quarter last year. On a constant currency basis, non-GAAP net income for the quarter would have reached $6.1 million, or 14 cents per diluted share, reflecting an increase of 7% year over year. Non-GAAP tax expenses this quarter was $1.3 million, representing an effective tax rate of 18.3%, compared to tax expenses of $400,000 in the fourth quarter of 2014. Turning to the results of for the year, revenues for the full year increased 7% to $176 million, exceeding our guidance and compared to $164.3 million in 2014. On a constant currency basis, revenues for the 12-month period would have reflected an increase of 13% year over year to a record of $185 million. Our non-GAAP gross profit was $68.3 million, down slightly compared to non-GAAP gross profit of $68.9 million in 2014. Non-GAAP gross margin for the year was 38.8% compared to 41.9% recorded in 2014. The decrease in non-GAAP gross margin resulted from changes in the mix of revenues toward professional services versus software and maintenance and support, and from the negative impact of the erosion of foreign exchange rates. On a constant currency basis, non-GAAP gross margin for the year would have been 39.7%. Our non-GAAP operating income for the year was $27.2 million, or 15.4% operating margin, down 0.4% compared to non-GAAP operating income of $25.9 million, or 15.8% operating margin in 2014. On a constant currency basis, non-GAAP operating margin for the year would have been 15.8%, the same as in 2014. Our non-GAAP net income for the year was $21.7 million, or 49 cents per diluted share, compared to non-GAAP net income of $20.5 million, or 47 cents per diluted share. Our non-GAAP net income was negatively impacted by devaluation of cash and other working capital balances denominated mainly in euro, Japanese yen, and new Israeli shekel by approximately $2.5 million, or 6 cents per diluted share, following the devaluation of these foreign currencies against the U.S. dollar. Turning to the balance sheet, we ended the quarter with approximately $77 million in total cash and short-term investment, generating approximately $18 million from operating activities during 2015. Our strong financial position, including strong free cash flow, enabled us to maintain a dividend policy for our shareholders. Our policy is to return up to 50% of our net income in the form of dividend. During 2015, we distributed an aggregate of approximately $7.8 million, or 17.6 cents per share. Our current dividend yield is approximately 3.4%. Turning to our 2016 revenue guidance, we expect 2016 full-year revenue in the range of $191 million to $195 million, representing growth in the range of 9% to 11%. With that, I will turn the call back to Guy for closing comments.
Thank you, Asaf. So in summary, we are pleased with our record-breaking revenues and double-digit profitability. We had our sixth straight year of record revenue and exceeded our revenue guidance with revenues of $176 million. Our non-GAAP operating income for the year also reached a record of $27.2 million. While we produced excellent results, they could have been even better had we not been hit by foreign currency devaluations. We believe we are well positioned and on track to meet our 2016 revenues guidance. With that, I will now turn the call over to the operator for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have any questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is by Bhavan Suri of William Blair. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys, and Guy and team. Congratulations. Nice job. You guys have a unique position in the development space with a lot of companies, both software houses and internal organizations on the development front. You know, there's all this concern about macro and global slowdown and lower spending in CapEx and IT. Guy, are you seeing anything when you talk to customers? Are you seeing any softness at all? Obviously, your numbers don't indicate it. But as you look out, are you seeing any change to spending patterns or trends, whether they impact you or just broadly? Any color, given sort of your exposure to that space, would be helpful.
I'll try and put it this way, Bhavan. When you talk to customers that should make kind of a strategic decision, then I think the sales cycle is probably a bit longer today. But as you know, 80-85% of our business is kind of repeated business. Therefore, we
sure.
less suffer from the overall, bad mood that we have in the in the markets.
No, but just to clarify, you're not seeing any pushback on your projects or in any verticals, telco or otherwise, AT&T aside. Obviously, we can discuss that. But not on on development projects.
Sector specific, yes. On the telco side, we definitely see that it's not as it used to be like 2 years ago. But all in all, I think, you know, we are positioned in a place that usually we save people a lot of money. Therefore, when we are brought to the table, it's kind of the final stages, meaning they do not push back on that.
Got it. Okay, let's focus on the business then. So obviously, nice upside and nice guidance. Are you seeing that driven by some of the integration platform, some of the development platform, mobile, cloud? So what was the driver of the upside? And then obviously, what's driving the strength you see in 16?
I think mostly you see the drivers are definitely from cloud and mobile solutions. All in all, the big bucks are coming from mostly from preparations. Because if you look on the mobile side, it's still just
license.
Sorry?
I was going to say, so it's still more sort of project services based than it is like licensed product today because people are still sort of preparing. Is that the way to think about it?
Yeah, in some way, yeah. You see the, you know, the first stages of licenses and now we basically, you know, we wait for them to expand.
Got it. So obviously with cloud and mobile integration, especially with core systems, has to be important. Help us think through how your integration, your data movement platform starts to play into that, or are we still a ways before people start getting to that point?
I'm not sure I understood the question.
So when you think about mobile and cloud, so people are building all these services, those services all connect to legacy core systems, right? So I've got a e-commerce app, but the old e-commerce system or the inventory systems are still legacy systems, so you have to move the data back and forth. And our thesis would have been that your data integration platform would be the middle part of that data movement back and forth. And you've just said that it's mobile and cloud and not the data integration platform. So I'm just trying to understand, are people using something else, or is that something that will happen over time, or are they competitive?
No. I was a bit misunderstood. The main drivers in the market are definitely mobile and cloud. While talking about the business, we see it all over, whether it's preparation projects for mobile or cloud or integration.
Got it. And so when you look at that, should the license part of the business pick up at some point to give you some margin, or is it still pretty much services-based?
No, we think it should pick up.
Okay, great. And then one last one from me. As you look at the sort of things that Microsoft is doing and changing its model to become more cloud-based, and you look at some of the other competitors, how do you feel the competitive positioning sits with Magic? Has it changed? Does it remain the same? Is it an advantage that they're going to cloud? How should we think about that?
We need to make a lot of changes as well. You know, we are selling more and more as on a subscription base because, you know, this is where the market is going. All in all, talking about Microsoft, you know, we are less affected by Microsoft. You know, even when you talk about the cloud arena, it's Microsoft are not the one who is pushing the space. So you have other competitors way ahead of them.
But do any of them have sort of the development environment that you guys do? Or is that still something that's relatively unique to you?
I think it's still relatively unique to us. We, you know, people are talking a lot about force.com. We hardly see them in the competition, but people do talk about them. All in all, we are still, you know, in most cases we see the two mainstream.
Got it. That's helpful, Guy. Thanks, guys, and congrats again. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you.
The next question is from Robert Maltby of Singular Research. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. This is Deborah sitting in for Robert. Thank you for taking my questions. I'd like to continue the previous line of questioning regarding the drivers of your business. You mentioned in your opening remarks that about 80 to 85% of your business is repeat with existing customers. And that, you know, you also said that you're just waiting for the customers to expand. What is it that you see will drive the expansion of these existing customer relationships? What are you observing in their world that makes you think that these relationships will expand?
Okay, so if I'll take as an example the mobility trends. So in most cases, you find yourself in a situation when if you're going to close a deal with, corporate, a bank, okay, they will negotiate because they are afraid that in the long run, they will need a lot of licenses. So they will, we will have difficult negotiations around the prices on licenses. While the first step in their project is going to be rather small amount of users. After that, we need to wait for them to expand. So if they close with you a deal for, 10,000 users, usually they will start with a few hundred.
Okay, so are you saying then that with these existing customers, we're not necessarily waiting for economic growth to turn around and their entire business turns around? It's just a matter of their adoption rate and the pace at which they extend their license with you across all of their existing employees or their existing personnel.
In most cases, that's correct.
Okay, very good. And then let's talk a little bit about the other 15 to 20% of your business that must be coming from new customers. Are you seeing any particular vertical or geographic area where you're finding particularly receptive interest in your products?
It's hard to say. In most cases, you see it, we are playing in most of the common industries, 40-45% are coming from the financial sector, 20%, maybe today a bit less, is from the telecommunication. It's hard to say whether we see a specific center which becomes dominant.
And would you say that it's more Asia, Europe, U.S., or North America?
Probably more, a bit more towards North America. Although we see some good signs in Japan as well, Europe is okay. But definitely
okay,
North America is more dominant.
Yeah, it sounds like to some extent, sort of the global economic conditions are impacting maybe your new customer acquisitions. Whereas with your existing customers, it's a matter of your strong execution and your relationship building that's going to drive your sales.
Yeah, a lot of times, yes.
All right, very good. Thank you for answering my questions. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
The next question is from Yaniv Rahimi of Kohav Ram. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Just a quick question for me. Can you please explain what's behind the jump in amortization of other intangible assets in the last quarter?
Basically, when we do an acquisition and we did some during the year, we did one acquisition at the beginning of the year, we did another small acquisition towards the end of the second quarter, towards the beginning of the third quarter, when we finalize the purchase price allocation of the acquisitions, then sometimes at the end of the year we get the pickup for all the differences, because at the beginning it's still estimations, and then when we finalize the purchase price allocation study, at the end of the year in order to close the books.
Okay, so as far as I understand, the sum that appears in this fourth quarter, it's a one-time event. As long as there are no other...
Uh,
No,
company it's a bit that exaggerated.
For the year, no, it's not a one-time event. For the year, what you see is that's
no, the big jump.
Yeah, the big jump, of course. But if you take the amortization for the year, I presume that, for example, backlog, you know, plays a significant portion of the amortization during the year. This is not something to be repeated in the next year because backlog normally stands for the for the deals already signed during the first year of the acquisition. So this amount for around $800,000 in terms of the 2015 amortization expenses. So this amount won't be recovered in 2016, won't be repeated.
I was asking about the gap, and thank you for your answer. Thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. The next question is from Chris Reimer of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I wanted to ask if you could give any color on margins. Granted, the foreign currency effects have affected them. Is there anything else you're working on to improve them?
Basically, we kind of have a natural hedge in the operation in each of the sectors that we operate, meaning in types of professional services, then we have people that are doing the consulting job in the areas, in the same areas that we generate the revenues. 2015, because of the drop between 2014 in the euro, Japanese yen, and new Israeli shekel, had significant influence on that aspect. I think that, as for the moment, we don't expect such severe changes to happen in 2016, so we don't expect such amounts to influence again in 2016 versus 15.
Thank you. And just on M&A, I think you mentioned something about still looking for companies. Is there anything in the pipeline or anything you can give a little color as to, or maybe a certain region that you feel is stronger, that's more of a potential area for you?
I think, on the M&A side, at any given time, we have some opportunities on the table. Sometimes they mature quickly. Sometimes it takes a bit more time. Currently, we have three or four. In most cases, the acquisitions that we are going after are rather small. We have two in Israel. We have two in the States, one in Canada. They are all in process. Now, to tell you right now what is going to mature, I don't really know. But from our experience, I can say that in most cases, from the time we start to talk to a company, in some cases we can close quite fast. In some cases, it takes like between a year to 2 years until they are coming back and we can work out something.
Uh-huh. Understood. All right. Thank you. That's it for me.
There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Bernstein, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yeah. So thank you all for joining us, and hope we'll continue to deliver more record results. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes the Magic Software Enterprises Limited fourth quarter 2015 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.